Welcome to Building Great Leaders with Dr. Les Olala.
And you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. You will never not be God's child.
On today's program, Dr. Olala focuses our attention on what the Scripture says about thanksgiving in trials. This message was recorded at a chapel service in 2001. Building Great Leaders provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Our speaker, Dr. Les Olala, is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders and has been serving the Lord in full-time ministry for 50 years as a pastor, Bible college president, and evangelist. And now, Thanksgiving in Trials.
I believe that the walk to spiritual maturity has to be scattered with trials before we will ever come to realize our need for what God is trying to shape in us. The hardest thing for our Christian growth is praise. The best thing for our Christian growth is things that test our spirit, because they drive us to conformity to Christ. Now let me try to build on that premise to see what we see out of this verse. In everything give thanks. What could that mean? Are we to say thank you, Lord, for that which is sinful? This goes with Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And as I said in Romans chapter 8, a chapter that begins with no condemnation and ends with no separation, right in the middle of that chapter, is the command that we are given and we are to be conformed to Christ. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate that we might be conformed to the image of his dear Son. So ultimately, what is our purpose in life? Our purpose in life is that we might glorify God, and that glorification of him comes through conformity to Christ. So when we see Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, and we find that section in there that is ending with conformity to Christ, then we have to ask ourselves the question, how do we know if there is conformity to Christ? How do we know if we are Christ-like in our mentality? Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So this is the pattern that is to be perfected in us. We are commanded to glorify God. But as of now, we want to have the steps to conformity to Christ, that we might be conformed to him. Now, how does this play into 1 Thessalonians 5:18? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And that is definitely a Pauline statement in Christ Jesus. He said that many, many, many times. Now here I am going through life. As far as I know, I have the fruit of the Spirit. I'm walking. As far as I know, I have the fruit of the Spirit. As far as I know, I am filled with the Spirit. As far as I know, I am glorifying God. But God sees me in a different light, not as a sinner who has not been saved, but he sees me as one who is allowing problems that he is attempting to correct to shadow or to cover the fruit of the Spirit, so that I am not conforming to Christ and I am not glorifying God. And so, but I don't see that. I don't see that in my life. What does God use? How does God show me that I am lacking conformity to Christ. When I am going along thinking everything is fine. I'm having my devotions, I'm praying, I'm reading my Bible, I am serving as opportunities would arise. How would God show to me that I'm lacking some of this fruit? I'm going on through life towards my ultimate goal. What does he do? He brings in circumstances. I called it projects instead of problems. Project is positive, problem is negative. Christians do not have problems. Christians have projects. So a circumstance will come along. Something that is out of my control. Something I cannot help. Now, what if I'm lacking love? And this is what I do, how I counsel me. If I'm lacking love, how will God show that to me? What will God have in that project circle? What do you think it will be? It will be a person. An individual. I cannot know that I am lacking love until God brings a person into my pathway. And so in my project circle, there is a person or there are people who God brings in. And as Dr. John McCormick used to say, he knew a guy who had given aspirin a headache. And if you've pastored for any length of time or administrated anything for any length of time, you know that's true. I've known people who make coffee nervous. You know what? God will bring them in. And you know what you see? You're lacking love. I was bound and determined. I had written into my devotional book that I wanted to be conformed to Christ. I wanted to know Christ. Because a lot of people are calling love today, especially in relationships and dating relationships and going into marriage. Remember this, you don't fall into love, you grow into love. Love is not an act of the emotion. Love is an activity of the will. And when someone says, I lost my love for that person, you have not lost anything but a lack of desire to give yourself to that person. So you are lacking love. There are three ways that you can react to these projects that God brings into you. Number one, you can look at that circumstance and get bitter. That's the first thing you can do. Look at that situation and get bitter. Number two, you can bypass the circumstance and become plastic. You pretend to be filled with the Spirit, but your reactions give you away. Your reactions reveal. And it doesn't mean you should never be angry. Because there is a biblical sense of anger, but anger can never be prompted by anything but grief. When you see Jesus angry in the New Testament, it was always prompted by a heart of grief for those people. Never a personal vindictiveness in any way, shape, or form. So I can pretend, and I pretend love, pretend joy, pretend peace, and I'm plastic, but you know, plastic fruit looks attractive in a bowl. But when you go to grab it and take a bite, you won't brush your teeth, you'll count them. They are not nourishing at all. The third way to react is up here. Say thank you. Look to God. In everything, give thanks. In every situation, in every circumstance, in the midst of all things that you are going through, say thank you, Lord. Why? Because number one, nothing is ever out of his control. And number two, he knows best. And number three, he knows what he needs to shape into me if I am to be conforming to Christ and if I am to be glorifying God. We can fight. There are some things, I'm still in kindergarten in some matters on this fruit of the Spirit list. Some others I'm in grad school, some others I'm still in kindergarten. In fact, I got kicked out of Head Start a few times in some of these items. So what's the best way? Get bitter. Say, I'm not forgiving. No way. I have opted to be angry at God. If God is supposed to be so loving and God is supposed to be so kind and God is supposed to be all-knowing, why did he allow this? Well, you can argue with God, but I guarantee you one thing, you're not going to win. You will not win. Went through circumstance some years ago. Two major things. One was when I spent 3 weeks in a hospital with Stephen when he was small. And I went down to the basement of that hospital into the snack shop. And I got off in the basement corner. And I said, God, for years I have preached in everything give thanks. But God, I will not. And I pounded my fist. I will not thank you for this. And I did that for a week. You know what I realized that Friday? I'm not going to win. I am not going to win. God is too loving. He could have zapped me the first time I hit my fist on that table. He's loving. He's patient. He's understanding. And you know what I had to switch to? Oh, God, forgive me. And I had to switch. Okay, God, what are you deepening in me? What are you deepening? What are you showing? What steps are you? And you know what? When I switch from I will not, the Lord, I thank you because you know and you will never do what is not best for me. Even though I cannot control what someone else does, even though the circumstance in my life was not what I caused, it's not the choice that I made, I still had to react to what? So in everything, give thanks. I give thanks to God for that project, not because of the sin involved or whatever is involved. I give thanks to God for the project because of what it is revealing in me that I am lacking of conformity to Christ. And I would rather have trials that would lead me to conformity to Christ than to live all of my life trial-free and go to the bema and never having been conformed, because I have never been tested or tried. And so, you can get bitter. Number two, you can pretend. I'll just ignore that person. I'll just bypass. Pretend it's not there. Or I'll say, thank you, Lord. Why? What thank you does is it puts my mind in the Word. I'm in a position of obedience and my regenerated spirit. Remember, when you get saved, you are indwelt by the Spirit. You are regenerated. Your spirit is quickened, and you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. You will never not be God's child. You will never be perceived and judged for your sin, because that has been paid for. But what about the sanctification process? Well, what I do when I say, thank you, Lord, number one, I trust God. I take His word. And that indwelling spirit through the word ministers to my mind. What does Philippians 4? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding. When you try to reason through a trial, you will dig the hole deeper and deeper and deeper. When you get to a position of thank you and you're not anxious, and whatever that situation is, your mind is now settled. It's beyond all human understanding what God stabilizes, that you might prove it is that good, acceptable and perfect will of God, it says in Romans 12, 2. So be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. John 14, let not your heart be troubled. the emotional aspect of that. The people were in fear. And then what happens? Your body then simply becomes a cooperator because you get rid of what is called the psychosoma, the psychosomatic aspect, where a troubled soul causes body difficulties. That's what David went through in Psalm 32, and that's what he was crying for relief for in Psalm 51. So what happens? Now I go say, thank you, Lord. The word through the Spirit ministers to my soul. And then God gives me grace to go through that project. I remember I was preaching at a church, and they had a group sing before I preached. And they got gone. Jesus is the bridge over troubled water. Jesus is the bridge over troubled water. And boy, I was getting revved up there, getting ready to preach. And I'm half chuckling, and then I'm half trying to think, what am I going to do? Then I got thinking, is he the bridge over, or is he my grace through? But what we want bridges over. We don't want grace through. We want bridges over. You remember when the children of Israel were being pursued by the Egyptians? Pressure on both sides, enemy coming behind. They come to the Red Sea. Moses said, what are we going to do now, God? And God says, fly. Remember that? No, he said, stand still and watch. And then you'll go through the sea. I would have much rather been flown over it. Maybe this story is more familiar. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow, and the king became so fierce that you don't bow, I'm going to whip you over that furnace. I'll get some men and I'll biff you right over that furnace. No. You know what? They went through. And when the king looked in, said, lo, I see four, and the fourth is like unto the Son of God. See, that's the whole key. And so God gives me grace through troubled waters, but it does not happen through human reason. It happens through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the heart. And so the best option is not to get bitter, because God wants circumstance to make you bitter. Satan wants that situation to make you bitter. So I'm looking through this fruit of the Spirit. Let's suppose I'm lacking joy. Right now you're sitting in chapel and you have no peace and no joy. Why? Because some situation in your life is not right. You say, Lord, thank you for that situation, because right now I'm sitting here without joy, and I'm sitting here right now without peace. And God, without that circumstance, I would not have known that my joy and peace are plastic. Thank you, God, for that. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Why? Because he is conforming you to him. And you say, Lord, I would rather have this trial. I'd rather be living now with this hurt. I'd rather see this lack of joy and peace, because through it, you're showing me that what I have has been plastic, not real. And Lord, if this circumstance is the way through which you can be best shown and how you can be best glorified. When I was told in Minneapolis, after we landed from California, and we had the first call after I had talked on the phone after we left Los Angeles and landed in Minneapolis, and the whole situation about my wife had changed, and I was told in Minneapolis that your wife had burst aneurysm in the heart. And I thought, she can't be alive anymore. First, I told Dr. Vaughn, God's in control. The second thing I did was stare, because I fully believed when I landed in Green Bay, I would not have a wife. And you talk about 39 years of a relationship flashing before my mind as I stared out that plane window at those clouds. And I stared and prayed and pleaded with God. And then I said, Lord, number one, I thank you for this. But God, I don't know if she's gone. What of this have I been missing? And what through this circumstance will you pattern? Will you find a better pattern? When you go through the most life-shattering circumstances, you had better have an anchor deeper than your human reason. You have to come to a point and say, God, I fully trust you. Nothing is ever out of your control. And number two, God, I want this situation to deepen that relationship, and I want that situation to be more usable so that the fruit of the Spirit can become more manifest in the life. You know what? It's not a one-time thing. Your daily walk towards spiritual maturity, your sanctification process is not a one-time affair. Your salvation is instant and you're sealed forever. But the command to be filled with the Holy Spirit and have the fruit of the Spirit manifested in the life is a day-to-day thing. How do you know to grow? Daily circumstances. Some of you had a situation this morning probably that already had tested your faith. It's going up to preach that faith retreat at Gitche-Gumbi Bible Camp, raining, pitch black, muddy, had a blowout going just out of Houghton, Michigan. We had to get up there for that evening service. And the van sat so low that I couldn't get my spare, you know, drops out like a pickup truck. Those little wheelbarrow things that they have, the space savers. So I couldn't get that done. Finally, got a wrecker out and lifted up to one side and got that going. And here is where I'm still getting kicked out of Head Start. Patience. And so I said, Lord, you know best. You know what I say? You tight jaw, Lord, I know what's right here. I know what's right, but ooh. And okay. Let it happen, phase at a time. Then we got that phase done. Got going on the space saver. And pretty soon I heard flop, 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 flop. My space saver spare. So I limped in front of a friend's place. And they said, I need your truck. So we're trying to get all this done while I'm trying to get my heart prepared to preach. That's why I told you last year my goal is not to swear before I preach. One pastor said, well, how are you doing? I said, not bad. But you know how we're tested? Little things every single day. Every day, little things that come up. And so maybe it's patience. If you're lacking patience, God will probably have you at some time in your life drive through Chicago. Only thing they've changed in 40 years is the battery in the flashers. Nothing else has been done. We're stuck in traffic there one day, sitting still, hot summer, trying to get on the way to the Wilds to preach. And I was, you know best. And I told my wife, I said, honey, when? This was a first-class condition in the Greek, since I will be placed into a mental hospital, and not third class. Since I will be placed, I said, when I am put into a mental hospital, all I ask is that they put me in a room that's all chalkboards, and I want boxes of chalk. I want to spend the rest of my life writing, I hate Chicago. My wife said, "Don't you think that's an overreaction?" I said, "No, I don't." So when you see the head start bust coming to pick me up, you'll know it's long-suffering school that I have to go back to. Gentleness, goodness. What about faithfulness? What about meekness? Temperance. Anything out of control in your life? Anything you can't control? Have you thanked God for it? Because through that thing that you can't control, God is saying, "I will." But you cannot be conformed to Christ with intemperance. Well, I have to stop, but here's your project. Go before God and say, "God, what problems are you correcting? Is it bitterness? Is it lack of love? Is it impatience? Etc." And whatever you find that's a problem that you're facing, you will find it contrasted by the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And you say, "Lord, thank you for these situations. Thank you for these difficulties that come along. Because through these difficulties, you are showing yourself mighty to us. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." In every situation that God allows, thank Him. Because through that situation, God is revealing what He wants to shape into us. And you're far better off with that than with everything going your way in life. Thank God for situations, for through them, you indeed get to know Him. And you indeed become conformed to the pattern, and you indeed are able to live out the life that is within you through the indwelling Holy Spirit. The power is already there. Every victory is already won. It's up to you to act on that victory.
Thank you for joining us for Building Great Leaders today. Dr. Les Olala speaking on Thanksgiving in Trials. This program is a ministry of Building Great Leaders, providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders, and is produced by Harvest Ministries on Guam. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Join us again for more teaching from the Word of God next time on Building Great Leaders.